Wow. Okay. That was amazing. Oh Lord, we just bless you for that. I thank you, God, that when we seek you with all of our hearts, Lord, that you promise that we will find you, Lord. And we just bless you for that, God. Just so in awe of that you're really, for us as a congregation, you're opening our eyes to see you more and more, God. Become more aware of you. And we just pray, God, even as I'm going to minister, Lord, that your presence would just be amongst us, Lord. I pray that you would capture hearts this morning. Lord, I pray for my own heart that even as I speak, Lord, oh, that I would be just in awe of you again, Lord. We bless you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow, that was cool. Mikey, it's so lucky to have you back on worship. it's been 2 months. 2 months too long. It's just like a... My favorite moment of the week was when I was able to put Mike on worship again on the schedule. But it's really just so lucky to see how sweet it is what is coming out of you. I just want to bless you for that. So we're not done yet. We're definitely going to respond today. So there's loads more that we can get out of him today. All right. Make him work. He had 2 months off, so it's about time. Anyway, great. Good to see you guys. Welcome. It's so lucky to have so many here today. It's just a joy to see what the Lord is doing amongst us. Probably one of my favorite weeks with so many people tuning me about that they just keep hearing ding, 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 ding in the back of their heads. For those of you don't understand that, I want to encourage you to go to listen to last week's preach. But probably the reason why it's so cool for me is that, maybe I should just summarize it quickly. So last week I said, we spoke about corporate prayer. And just when we pray together, how often when we pray for a meal, it's like the same line over and over and over. And how I climbed into that a little bit and just tried to make people aware of what we're actually saying. How many of you were challenged this week to pray? Okay, that is good. Okay, like everywhere I went, nobody wanted to pray for the food. That is not what I wanted to happen. Okay, like the aim is not that you're insecure about your prayers. I think the aim is really like it's that we become aware of what we are actually saying to the Lord. And that for me was beautiful. I love it. If you were unsure of what to pray, I'm so happy. Goal achieved. Okay, like, because even for myself, like, and it's not only for when we pray for the food, but just in my prayers this week, when I considered coming to the Lord, I was so aware, like, I've got this pattern in my brain. And I was like, no, man, God, I'm not a type player. Okay, like, I want to approach you. And so I'm stoked to hear that. Okay, so key thing. Do not pray, okay? Rather pray. but just you could just come to the Lord and just say, hey, Jesus, it's me again on earth. I don't know, okay? Like, I don't know what you want to say, but just be real with the Lord where you are. And I believe God wants us to minister to him in prayer. All right, cool. So we're going to continue to do that. So I just want to scan you quickly. But I do want to say this. It's been wonderful for me to hear just what was happening amongst us in the communities, how prayer broken out. We've had a wonderful time together at the Baker's house on Wednesday. We've had a cool Tuesday morning prayer meeting. We had a 400% increase in numbers, which was amazing. Okay. So that was wonderful. And we're going to keep going with that. But I just love to see how people are hungry to pray together. And we want to keep stirring that thing. Okay. But one of the things, just in this week, as I was considering it, you might have heard throughout the last while, we've often used the word revival. Have you guys heard that? Okay. And one of my prayers have been, God, I want revival. I'm crying out for this thing. And I maybe had a certain idea in my head of what it means. But I didn't know, like, often when it'll happen, if it's that. Yeah. So this week, like, I just found myself reading stuff about revival. And so I'm going to read quite a couple of quotes to you today. But my prayer is that as we consider this, guys, I want to say, like, Baker and myself, we're connecting like around this topic, okay? Like, and as I consider revival this week, man, I could just feel faith stirring in my heart that, God, you can do it again. There was this moment now where I was standing there. It's like, Lord, it might just happen right now. It's possible. Yeah, it can. And so I want to stir you with that this morning. I think it's still going to happen, by the way. Okay? Help us, Lord. So, Psalm 85 verse 6 says this. It says, "Will you not revive us again, O Lord, that your people may rejoice in you?" And revival, it's not something that it's just like chaos breaking out. It often looks like that. But it is really a reviving of us, a sleeping people that is being woken up to rejoice in the Lord again. Okay, that is our prayer. David prayed that back in the day. Okay, I'm going to read a couple of quotes here. Anonymous person said this. Okay, he said, "Revival is simply falling in love with Jesus all over again." Yeah. J.I. Packer said that revival is the visitation of God which brings to life Christians. It's interesting, Christians, not only unbelievers, all right? Christians who have been sleeping, and restores a deep sense of God's near presence and holiness. Then spring forth a vivid sense of sin and a profound exercise of heart in repentance, praise, and love with an evangelistic outflow. But it starts with us. It starts with God reviving us again, sleeping Christians. All right? Jerry Falwell, I don't know, I have a clue who he is, but he said this. He said, "Revival is not just a feeling of excitement of the Lord. We get excited about many things, but excitement is not a revival if God is not the thing that gets us excited." All right. And so when we speak about this, our desire is really for sleeping Christians, and I'm including myself in that in many areas, to come alive again, to wake up to the nearness, the presence, and the holiness of the Lord. All right? And so, we speaking about corporate prayer, which I think is often a result of that, but I want to take a little bit of a step back before we keep going on that today, is the initial plan. So please bear with me. Last night at 10 o'clock, I changed my preach completely. All right. So I had an idea, so I don't know if it's going to be smooth around the edges, but I think there's more life on this. Okay. So, but I wanted to give you a good idea of what it looks like when we pray together, how to hear, and those are good things, and we might still touch on it today. But I don't want to manufacture just a good thing, and there's no revelation there. All right. Because all of this, it really starts with you. And with me, okay, intimacy with the Lord, being hungry for the Lord, and the best prayer that you can ever pray, well, one of the best, okay, is that, "God, start with me. Start with me. Do it in me again." And that's my prayer this week as I consider revival. It's like, "God, would you do it in me again?" And you know what's the cool thing? And it's like God often, like if you look at the revivalist, it wasn't the heroes of the days, that the guy who already had the platform, and I'm like, "Please, Jesus, I know I'm leading now, but please, can I be the lowest here, okay? Like, start with me." But it was often the guy who nobody cared about, nobody saw, but he was devoted in his inner room, seeking the Lord, crying out to the Lord, coming together, being faithful whenever there was time to be faithful, and the Lord would do something right there. John Wesley, Charles Finney, these names, if you don't know, like, those are guys who set the pace for us of what we're doing today. But they often sought the Lord when no one knew about them. John Wesley, that's a picture that Chris Staples used a while ago. Is that they were like groove, what is that, grooves, né? In the floor. Now, can you imagine how long and how often you need to get on your knees on a floor for there to be holes where your knees were of constant prayer? That's intimacy with the Lord. That is devotion to the Lord. And when we come together to pray, I think the reason why we battle, and I mean, I'll be honest, I often find prayer meetings so boring. Okay, it sounds terrible. Sorry, yeah. but I do, and because often our prayers are just so here. It's so out of my mind. Like sometimes, man, and sometimes it just sounds like we're explaining to God what is happening here. "God, thank you that when we do this, then this happens." And it's like, I wonder whether Jesus, what is he thinking? He's like, "Well, I didn't know that. That is pretty impressive." Like, okay, sorry, yeah, I'll go on my trend again, okay? But like, so sometimes I'm like, our prayers are just so thought out and well presented. And I have such a desire that our prayers can move from here to here. We could just catch what the Lord is doing. And when I come to a prayer meeting, I know the Lord is heading in that direction. I want to climb in that boat. Yeah. And it's possible, but it starts at home. And this morning was so cool. When we got together as elders this morning, there was an evident sense that we knew God's going to move. We were hungry. I need to tell this. When I drove into the school this morning, I just started weeping. And I don't know why, but it was like the Lord was just like, something is going to happen today. And when we walked into the room, all the guys were on the same point. The Lord's going to move. And in our prayer meeting and in our worship, it's evident that He's here. And so I want to challenge you to come ready, but it starts at home. Yeah. And here's the thing. Someone said this. Revival equals change. Radical change. The problem is everybody hates change. All right? So we're crying out for this thing. Lord, change us, change us, change us. And the Lord comes and He puts His finger on something. And you're like, no, not me, them. Change them. Okay? And that's what I want to stir you today. It starts with us. But it includes, with her. Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll start with her. Okay? This revival includes radical change, guys. And I want to stir you. It feels like, can you sense that lately in the presence, I don't know, like, but in the atmosphere, it's like the presence is hungry for something to happen. Like, it feels like there's so much opportunity for something to happen when we come together. Have you guys sensed it lately? All right? And I believe we're in that season, and I said to Lisa last night, I'm so scared. I don't want to lead this, okay, because I don't want to mess it up. Like, it's so sensitive. Like, there's a rich opportunity for us to find the Lord, but I want to steward it well with the guys. And I'm so careful. I don't want to move when God's not moving. I don't want to stay when He's not staying. But there's this opportunity for us to meet with the Lord, but it involves change. And I want to stir you today to be ready to say, God, start in me. Do it in me again. Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. Going to read it again. It says, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. And I want to involve everybody here today. I want to stir you, man. I'm going for it. And I know the elders and the deacons are going with us. All right. And I want to stir you. Do not be the one that is content to live without it, because you might miss it. Get in the boat. Come with us. Be hungry for the Lord. And I believe we can see Him like never before. All right? So I want to read you something today. It's actually something from our own nation. A revival that started by a guy called Andrew Murray, in Worcester from Alaplaka. Okay, and this is an eyewitness report of a guy who went to visit one of the meetings just to see what was happening there, and this was his feedback. And so I want to stir us today. It's like just as we read it, I pray that your hearts will burn with desire for this. Because last night, as I was reading it, I was just weeping before the Lord and said, God, that was barely 100 k's from you. You can do it again, yeah. You can. All right. Do it again. That's the phrase. All right. I'm going to read this to us. It says, the year was 1860. So just bear with me. I'm going to read quite a portion, but I'll try and be a good storyteller, okay? The year was 1860. And Murray, he was then 32, was the new minister of the Worcester Dutch Reformed Church. Well, it began as a prayer meeting, interesting, all right, prayer meeting. A revival in the United States in the years just before that had since brought powerful revivals to Ireland and Wales before spreading to South Africa. On a certain Sunday evening, they were gathered in a little hall, some 60 young people. Where's the young people here? All right, Grant said, okay, everybody, cool, I like it, okay. But especially the teens, all right, the youth, I want to say, you need to listen to the story very well. 60 young people. I was the leader of the meeting. Okay, so he was the youth pastor, sorry. I was the leader of the meeting, which commenced with a hymn and a lesson from God's word, after which I engaged in prayer. And after three or four others had given out a verse or a hymn or offered a prayer, so it was not only one guy ministering. Some guys contributed. There were people who partook. A colored girl of the age 15 years old, in service with a farmer of Vex River, rose at the back of the hall, and she gave out her hymn verse and prayed in moving tones. And while she was praying, we heard, as it were, a sound in the distance, which came nearer and nearer until the hall seemed to be shaken. With one or two exceptions, the whole meeting began to pray, and the majority in audible voice, but some in whispers. Nevertheless, the noise made by the concourse was defying. A feeling which I cannot describe took possession of me. At that time, Mr. Murray was minister of Worcester, and he had preached that evening in an English language. And when the service was over, an elder passed by the door of the hall. He heard the noise and peeped in, and then hastened to call Mr. Murray, returning presently with him. And Mr. Murray came forward to the table where I knelt praying. He touched me and made me understand that he wanted me to rise. And then he asked me what had happened, and I related everything to him. He then walked down the hall for some distance and called out as loudly as he could. He said, "People, silence!" But the praying continued. In the meantime, I too kneeled down again, and it seemed to me that if the Lord was coming to bless us, that I should not be upon my feet, but upon my knees. How's that? Mr. Murray then called again aloud. He said, "People, I'm your minister sent from God. Silence!" So this guy's pulling every stunt he can, like pulling every authority card that he has. But there was no stopping the noise. No one even heard him, but all continued praying and calling on God for mercy and pardon. Mr. Murray then returned to me and told me to start the hymn verse commencing at the sound of helpless cries, and I did so, but the emotions were not quieted, and the meeting went on praying, and Mr. Murray then prepared to depart, saying, "God is a God of order, and here is everything confusion." So this guy is like, man, God is not like this. It's out of order. And he's trying to pull this thing back in and get it into order. And with that, he left the hall. So this is the great Andrew Murray, trying to stop what the Lord was doing in the church. In the youth meeting, actually, by the way. And after that, the prayer meetings were held every evening. And there was generally a great silence, but after the second or third prayer, the whole hall was moved as before, and everyone fell to praying. Sometimes the gathering continued till 3 a.m, and even then many wished to remain longer, or returning homewards went singing through the streets. The little hall was soon quite too small, and we were compelled to move to the school building, which also was presently full to overflowing, as scores of hundreds of country folk streamed into the village. On the first Saturday evening, how's this? Saturday, not only Sunday, okay? Evening in the larger meeting house, Mr. Murray was the leader, and he read a portion of scripture, made a few observations on it, and engaged in prayer. And then he gave others opportunity to pray. During the prayer which followed, I heard again the sound in the distance, and it drew nearer and nearer, and on a sudden the whole gathering was praying. That evening, a stranger had been standing at the door, watching the proceedings. Mr. Murray descended from the platform and moved up and down among the people, trying to quiet them. And the stranger then tiptoed forward and from his position at the door, and he touched Mr. Murray gently and said, in English, "I think you are the minister of the congregation. Be careful what you do, for it is the Spirit of God that is at work here. I've just come from America, and this is precisely what I witnessed there." How's that? It wasn't just an orderly thing, everybody coming at when they wanted to, but it was Holy Ghost chaos, even to the point, and that's why I'm so scared to lead this where we now, okay? Because I don't want to miss it, okay? But I also don't want to fabricate something that is fake, okay? But there's something of the Spirit of the Lord that is moving amongst us, and it looked like that in the past, and I think it's going to happen again, all right? I believe with my whole heart that the Lord wants to do it again. And yes, I don't know where to go from here. But guys, I wanna stir us. There's something we really need to come to the end of ourselves and to say, "God, whatever it takes, would you use me again?" I want you to know what we are asking when we say, "God, would you do it in me again?" It is not just an easy prayer, all right? The story there continued. I don't read everything of it now, but it says that after that, it was quite a poor season. Many of the people were poor, and it says that 50 young guys that evening said, "We'll give ourselves full time to the work of the Lord." Resigned their jobs, which was already a poor time. Said, "God, use me." And not that all of us are going to go into full-time ministry now, but I want to stir you that really that I pray for something to be birthed in us today. God, would you do it in me, whatever the cost? Whatever the cost. He wants you. All right? Is that cool? And like I said, for us in revival, prayer is essential. Us coming together as well, not only individually, coming together. There's something unique in prayer when we come and we cry aloud unto the Lord. And I want to stir you, man. Praying together. Often, like it says, those meetings also started in silence, but it ended in chaos. And if you've never raised your voice in prayer time, not only in worship. In worship, it's easy because there's sound and whatever. But I want to stir you. When we pray, and we're going to do it again today, raise your voice. Amen. Shout to the Lord. Guys, I want to stir you. The Bible is full of the stuff that it says it takes expression. All right? And by the way, and I mean, I love the Dutch Reformed Church, but this started there. Okay. It was orderly. You guys, many of you know how I grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church, okay? Everything was about order. And I think many of us come out of that and we're like, a church, the kids need to be quiet. I want to stir you. There is a loud expression crying unto the Lord, desiring this thing. All right? And I want to urge you. Even if you guys want to start praying while I'm preaching, I'm totally okay with that. But there's something of a hunger that we cry out together. And the Lord loves that. The Bible is full of it. All right? Louis Giglio said this in the week. He said, if we could really see what is happening while we're praying together, we would never cease to pray. If we can understand what is happening out there when we cry unto the Lord, we would never stop. There's something so powerful. It is not just about coming together and stir up excitement. It is about the excitement of the Lord that is gripping our hearts and our eyes actually being opened. But the heavens are moving with what are we asking? And we would never stop if we genuinely understand what is happening while we're praying. Corrie ten Boom, she was a lady, a Dutch lady actually, in World War II, was quite a significant in the refugee camps who supported Christians, okay? And she said this, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? And for us as elders, we are just at that place where again this week we're like, man, we need to stop giving our ideas and we just need to call unto the Lord. And I think we gained some ground this week, but not enough yet. We just often, Baron helped me in the meeting. I would bring up something that is heavy on my heart and we say, let's just pray about that. And we are moving from a place where prayer was the spare tire to the steering wheel. Generally, we believe that God knows better. I want to ask you, move with us, okay? Someone said, if you only pray when you're in trouble, you're in trouble. All right? There's something more that we can call on to the Lord, not only when we're in trouble. And so what does it look like when we come together to pray? Not just being quiet and waiting for the leaders to do something. But Matthew 18 verse 19 says this, again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. And that can't simply be Gary and I agree that it's a good idea to do this, but there's something of a witness in our hearts that the Lord is on this and we agree on that. Okay? Agreement in prayer is essential. All right? So practical tips for us praying together. Okay? I want to say, I'm going to start with the non-helpful tips. Okay? So if you ever came to a prayer meeting like this, I want to make you aware of this as well again. Okay? And to get this out of you, what is not helpful is when you're preaching in a prayer. Okay? It is unhelpful. Okay? It is not the time. Okay? If you have something to say, you can come to one of us afterwards and say, hey, I feel I might want to share this and we can decide. But often, and you might, and I want to tell you, again, hear this if it's you. Okay? I had it this morning when we were together praying. I was about to preach and I was like, okay, stop it. But often we come together and we're like, you know, sometimes when the Lord, but we're busy in a prayer meeting, okay? Sometimes when we do this, the Lord says that He will come and do this. And it's like actually speaking to us, teaching us. And I want to say, praying together, that is not it, guys. Ooh, stepping on some toes here now, okay? That is not it. I want to tell you that prayer, it's unto the Lord. You don't need to explain to the Lord what is happening here. He knows, all right? But we just catch the vein of the Lord, what is on His heart, and you speak unto God. Do not preach when you come together to your pet theology that you want everybody to hear. It's not the time. It stops the flow of a prayer meeting. All right. I want to say, do not balance someone else's prayer. Right? Often you get someone, and mostly it might be me actually, okay, where I'm just on the other side of how you want to see things, okay? And it feels like I've swung the pendulum there, and we cry unto the Lord. And today, please hear me, when I consider prayer, last week we spoke about the Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Today I want to focus a bit more on the asking part, but I want to get you to what do we ask for, all right? And sometimes when someone prays something and you're like, oh, I hear you, but that might be not right. And you say, I'm just going to preach the opposite thing so that guys can hear we actually believe in this as well. It's not helpful. All right? Allow the leader to do that. If it was totally out of balance and off point, allow one of the elders or the leaders, whoever's leading the meeting there, to correct that. But don't feel you need to balance every prayer, because then we stay stagnant. All right? But discover, hey, is there something in the Lord in that is actually calling us to that? And then we climb into it, if it's God. Does that make sense? All right. Another thing that is a big one for us, and I touched on it last week, is prophetic words out of time. Is again, we highly encourage the prophetic. We want it. We want you guys to prophesy. But just as in a meeting, as we are worshiping you, we'd come and submit the word to one of the leaders. I want to challenge you to come and submit words you feel during a prayer time and say, hey, I strongly sense this is what the Lord wants to do. And then the leader can decide, is it God or is it not? Or is it in time or not now? Because again, in the week, I've been in a couple of prayer meetings with guys which just say, I feel the Lord is saying this. And it's like the prayer meeting does this. It's just because it's out of time and it's unsubmitted. And I want to stir us. This is not to be controlling. This is not so that elders can have the hand on everything. Yeah? But it's so that we can together flow. Praying together, it's all about momentum and agreeing and hearing God together and climbing into that. All right, and so I want to stir you with that. You guys hear me? Everybody okay? Okay, but this is so that we can help one another, because I want you to desire corporate prayer. Guys, it is amazing. I've been in some prayer meetings where it feels like Jesus can just literally come right now. He's here. He might just come from heaven now, and this might be it. But it's so strong. Okay, and I want to make you hungry for that, because it can be. All right, what is helpful in prayer? Come hungry. Just come hungry, all right? Come desperate for the Spirit. Man, often like this morning, what was so cool for me is I was hungry when I walked in here. But what blessed my heart is when all the other elders were like, God is going to do something. And we're ready. We're keen. Man, that does something amongst us. We had a cool time of prayer before prayer meeting this morning. It's just like, Lord, we know you want to. And so when you come to pray together, it's not a best idea if you only roll out of bed 15 minutes before that. It's okay, but it's not always helpful. Come hungry when you get there and say, God, I know you want to do this morning. We pray into that. Let me see. Agreeing with one another. And this is the one I want to focus on. Acts 4, verse 24. It says, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And it was a sense when they heard something that the guys were praying, they lifted their voices together and said, yes, Lord, you are great God. You are the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I want to urge you, there's something of that man that I want to unlock in us. And it's called a voice. Okay, and I want to hear some of you just say, yes, Lord. Come on. Okay. Some special effects. Okay. I want to stir you to that. Now, there's something powerful that happens when, I know, who of you desire the presence of the Lord to come when we're together? Now, yes, we do. So sometimes you would get someone who prays, God, who just desire your presence to come this morning, and nobody say yes. There's something wrong with that, okay? Like when someone says, Lord, I desire your presence to come and touch us, there should be a, amen, yes, God. Okay, Charles Finney, he was one of the most, I think he led the Welsh revival, if I remember correctly. He said, there can be no revival when Mr. Amen and Mr. Wet Eyes are not found in the audience. All right? There's something that we agree, even while I'm preaching. I don't know, please, you're welcome. I don't want to stir that, okay? But like, when there's something that touches your heart, I would challenge you to at least say, okay? Like, agreeing, okay? And if you want to weep, weep. But there's something of that. We allow God to move our hearts, my heart. Come and do it again in me, all right? Yeah. Come on, okay? And then I want to say what we need to do more often than not is we need to pray in tongues. All right? Yes, come on, okay. I was almost shocked by that. That was amazing, okay. Yes, I want to stir you, and I didn't put the verse up there, but Romans 8, I think it's verse 36, says this. Né? It says, oftentimes we just don't know what to pray. Who have you felt like that? It's like, I'm just dead, okay. And then we come and you just start praying in tongues. And it says, when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit prays through us. Okay, where's that verse? Bori, you had it this morning. I need to read it for us because it's not quite landing yet. Okay, thanks. Verse 26, Romans 8, 26. It said, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And that's what I want to get to. Sometimes we need to come to that place where the words doesn't come from here. It's too deep for words. And we touch heaven with our words then, with groaning. Sometimes you just need those times, you know, where it says in other places about with Murray Revival, it says it had the sound like the Niagara Falls. Can you imagine what that sounds like? Okay. People groaning, crying out to the Lord. Too deep for words. Praying in the Spirit. And the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And man, I want to urge you, I think we can pray again for that this morning. It says that God desires everybody to speak in tongues. Okay? And I want to pray for that again because there's something that often when I don't know what to pray and just start praying in tongues, it's like I can sense my heart realigning with God. It's like that thing. It's God, we pray for that. Then I'm with the Lord. Okay? And we pray, and then sometimes I run out of words again, and I just start praying in tongues. And then I can sense my heart like, yes, that thing. And then I pray it in words that I understand. And God, I agree with that. Okay? And then I run out of words again, and I just pray in tongues. Da, 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 da. And then, yes, that thing, and I climb into that. And it creates a flow for us together. And sometimes, just as a group together, to lift our voice together in tongues, and we just cry unto the Lord, too deep for words that we can think of. And it's like the Lord pulls in and He does it on our behalf. I want to stir you to that. Whenever there's a call to lift your voice together or to cry unto the Lord or to pray in tongues, be the first one to say, I'll do it. I'm there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish with this and then we're going to respond to the Lord. There's a lack of time left. Okay. Leonard Ravenhill said this again. He says, you never have to advertise a fire. Everyone comes running when there's a fire. And likewise, if your church is on fire, you will not have to advertise it. The community will already know about it. And guys, I desire a fire in us that we won't have to put a post on Marco Stranders to say there's a church running here on Sundays. Oh man. And this week, and this is one thing I want to, if you want to ask the Lord something this morning, I believe this is what we need to ask Him in the week, just on our Tuesday morning prayer time. There was something that God just said, you're called to be a light, a city on a hill that is not hidden. And I said to the Lord, Lord, how is it that people in Melkbos doesn't even know about us? And I moved most of my meetings from the heart to Omiel, okay, where I meet people. And there's new waiters that I'm meeting there now and whatever. And the one day I just met one of the guys and I said, hey man, what are you doing on Sunday? And I said, we had a church in Melkbos High School. And he's like, there's a church there? And something in my heart broke. It's like, how do you not know? How do you not know about us? Okay, why didn't someone tell you about us? And I was like, my heart was burning. I was like, I wish I could explain to you what the Lord is doing amongst us. And I don't want to put an ad on Facebook to tell someone, hey, if you want to come, God's here. And there's something, if we'll be on fire, that people will know and they'll come running. It says with that revival, I don't think there was even a newspaper ad that went out. It says soon that hall was too small and they had to move. Soon the school hall was too small. People were queuing out the doors, just praying together and lifting their voices unto the Lord. And I want to stir us that we can ask the Lord for a fire in us, a fire in our church, a fire in me personally, and that people will know about us. And not that, you guys get what I'm saying. It's not about us, but it's about that the Lord is moving amongst us. And there's a cry for us to say, God, we are called to be a city on a hill, a lamp that is not hidden under a bucket. But we want to shine bright for the Lord in Melkbos. But it starts with me. It starts with me. Feels like there's so much more that I need to say, but I don't have time. But maybe, Mikey, why don't you guys come up? He left. Oh, he's there. The band can come up. And I'm not sure, Bori, you must help lead now. But are you guys hungry for this? There's a Chris Staple mentioned it a while ago, but I'm going to mention it again. One of the guys said, "We can't organize revival. We can't organize it, but we can set our sails that when the wind of the Spirit when God chooses to blow upon His people again, that we are ready to catch it." And that for us as leaders, it's honestly just our desire, God, that we want it. That when the Lord comes and blows, that we will not miss it, but that our sails are ready to catch the wind of the Spirit. And can we set our sails together this morning? I want to invite you. We're going to worship together. And I believe the asking part in the Lord's Prayer where it says, "Give us our daily bread." I referred to it last week, but I think it can refer to our needs. But there's something, God, today, would you give me the bread that sustains me with you? And if there's one thing that the Lord always wants us to ask, is he loves it when we cry out for His Spirit to come, for His presence to come. And I'm not sure what's going to happen now, where we're going to go, but I just feel that we can cry out to the Lord this morning and say, "Do it in me, God. Do it in me." And I want you to consider that it is not only for this morning. It is not only for today, but it's something when we go home that we choose to pay the price. And say, "God, I'm willing to pay a price." Last night at 12 o'clock when I was still preparing, there was something that I didn't want to go to sleep. I said, "Do it in me, Lord. If it takes me sitting here longer and reading more, do it in me." And there's something that the Lord is asking of us to change. And I want to stir you. If you are not having quiet time, oh guys, I want to stir you to get to the Lord. And don't come with the idea of what you think it should look like. Just say, "God, would you do it in me again? I want to know you. Intimacy with you." And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases to the Lord. Just say, "God, would you do it in me? Would you pour out your Spirit again in me? For your glory. For your kingdom to be extended. For this town, for Melkbos to know that Jesus is busy here. And they need to come." And the result of that, like Jai Packer said, it will have an evangelistic outflow. It will be natural for us to go and tell the world.
So I do feel we need to respond. Just a couple of things that I just jotted down. I felt God just whispered this phrase to me: position to be stirred. And I feel this morning we've got to position ourselves to be stirred by Him. Because it's not by our might, it's not by our power, it's not by the things that we put together, songs we sing, but it's by His Spirit that this is going to happen. And I feel like we should do that right now. We should position ourselves to be stirred. And that, what does that look like? I think this morning what that looks like is moving, raising your voice, getting out of your chair, coming to the front, getting onto your knees. Can we do that now? Can we come out? You position yourself this morning in the Lord to be stirred by Him. To say, "Lord Jesus, come and do something in my heart that is not manufactured by myself, something that I can do." If that is for you, to start praying in tongues. Jesus, this morning we come before you, the God of the heavens, the God of this earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one that's paid the ultimate price for us. We want to say, "Come do it again, Jesus. Come do it again, God, in our lives, God. Father, we want to position ourselves this morning, God. We want to give our hearts this morning afresh, Lord. Say, come stir our lives, God. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, God, we want you, Jesus. We want your presence, God, to be poured out this morning, God. Come and fill our hearts, Holy Spirit. As we speak in tongues, God, give us visions, give us dreams, Lord Jesus. Let a fire burn in us like never before, God, for you and your kingdom, Lord Jesus. That is why we are here, God. Why we are here is for you, God, for you to be glorified this morning, God. Kera vasietro lo boshon rekama.